us. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is a living word. It's alive and can help us in so many different ways. And Lord, we thank you. We worship you. And as we come to the teaching of the scriptures this morning, we pray that there would be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit and that you would take the words that are spoken and that you would break them and feed us, Lord, that we would receive encouragement and strengthening through the word of God this morning. I pray that we would be stronger after the service than before we came in, that you would have done something that we could ascribe glory and greatness to that only you could do. And so, Father, we pray right from the outset that there would be a touch upon everything that's said and done in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I was going to prepare something. I did actually prepare something totally different, but it really wasn't suitable for a computer, this kind of service. And so I had to prepare something different. And so this is not the message that I was going to share, but I believe that it's the message that God wants us to share at this time. And so I'm going to ask if you would turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. And I believe God wants to lay a platform of victory in every believer's life. God wants to make us sure that we are overcomers, so that regardless of what comes against us, and you know yourself how many things operate against us and how difficult life can be, but God has set up this platform for victory for every believer, and that as we go through life, we are more than conquerors. We actually find strength, power, and the courage of God's conviction to see us through to a place of victory. So I'm going to ask you to turn to Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 1, and we're going to read a few verses. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give unto you, even to the children of Israel. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coasts. There shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. What a wonderful promise God makes. And the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. God says, I will not fail thee. I am not going to fail you. He won't fail us either. He is a faithful God. He says, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. He says, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee, and turn not from to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wherever so thou goest. What a wonderful passage of scripture that God gives to us, because he's actually teaching us how to obtain the promises of God, how to possess the things that God has promised for us. And it's an incredible lesson that Israel had to learn, but it has an application for us as New Testament believers as well. We need to learn how to appropriate the promises of God. We need to see how the kingdom operates so that we can flow in the same kind of anointing, same kind of victory and blessing that Joshua experienced. And this is what God is trying to teach the children of Israel, how to receive their inheritance. You know, the truth is, it's not just going to float down from heaven. We're going to have to fight for it. We're going to have to get it. But the things that God has promised are there for each and every one of us. We need to learn how to possess the promises of God. God has said to the children of Israel, hey, I'm going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. It's God is trying to show his people how much he loves them and how much he cares for them and how God wants to bless his people and take care of us. And he says to them, not only is it going to be a land flowing with milk and honey, he says, I'm going to give you houses you didn't build, wells you didn't dig, and vineyards you didn't plant. In other words, you're going to have this abundant blessing that's going to come on you. And what's more, he says, you'll be an invincible army, and no man shall be able to stand with you all the days of your life. What an incredible and amazing promise that no man would be able to withstand them all the days of their life. That's what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in the New Testament church. He's trying to strengthen us so that you and I will be victorious as well, that no man will be able to withstand us. We will be able to overcome whatever comes our way. And so God says to him, you'll be an invincible army and no man will be able to withstand you. So God has made these amazing promises. He's made them to the Israel in the Old Testament, and he makes these amazing promises to us in the New Testament. But how we get to them is a process. And in actual fact, if you look at the life of Israel, it's very obvious what God is trying to teach them. There were 31 kings and kingdoms that stood between Israel and her inheritance. That is phenomenal. 31 kings and kingdoms would test the promises of God. And 31 kings and kingdoms would all fall just as God promised. You see, God's word is faithful no matter how insurmountable the odds are, no matter how difficult things appear. God's word will not fail. It will not return void. It will accomplish that which he pleases. And so this is the lesson. If we stand true to the word of God, we will overcome. We will prevail. You know, this might be the land of milk and honey, but somebody still has to get up early to milk the cows and get stung by the bees. Okay. And so it's important that we understand that there is a fight that's involved in all that's going on. God has given Israel this wonderful inheritance in the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. But did you know that that promise pales into insignificance when compared to the promises that have been made to us in Christ in the new covenant? We have a new covenant with better promises and better blessings that God wants to bestow upon the church. And so it is even more wonderful than the land flowing with milk and honey. God wants to bless us in every kind of way, spiritually and materially. He wants to bless us all the blessings of Christ. God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. The treasures of wisdom and knowledge are ours. The treasures of darkness are ours. The unsearchable riches of Christ are ours. Healing, health, and victory are ours. No good thing will he withhold to them that walk uprightly. Hallelujah. What an incredible promise. But we, like Israel, are going to have to fight for everything that God has promised, because we have an enemy too. But Jesus, speaking it in the New Testament, says that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Remember, Matthew is written to the Jews, and that's why he uses the term heaven, but it's no different from the kingdom of God. They're synonymous terms. It's just the Jews use heaven because they don't want to misuse the word God. So it's a respectful term. And he says, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. In other words, there needs to be a battle even in the New Testament. Israel faced 31 kings and kingdoms, and Israel prevailed every time. That's the wonderful news. We can prevail every single time. Today, you and I face a formidable foe. We face the prince of darkness, that old serpent, the devil. But you know, we don't need to be afraid or intimidated, because God has made provision for his church to overcome even the devil. It says in James chapter 4 and verse 7, submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It's the devil that runs from the believer. It's the devil who intimidates the believer. What a different kind of concept sometimes we've come up in the church, where people say, oh, don't talk about that, because the devil will hear you. No, the devil flees from the church. If we resist the devil, he will run from us. Every place, God says, that your foot shall tread, I have given that unto you. I will contend with those who contend with you, Isaiah says. We're going to fight and we're going to win this battle. We will drive every devil and demon back to hell where they belong, folks. There's no option, but we have to rise up. This is the church triumphant, the victorious in battle, the church that's overcoming, all conquering. This is the church of Jesus Christ. This is the Lord's church where we win in the battles of life. The first thing you need to know is that you need a promise. Remember, God said to Israel, I'm going to give you this land. That was the promise. Your inheritance and my inheritance depends on a promise too. It's bound up in a promise. Just like Israel was going to have to fight those 31 kings and kingdoms, you and I are going to have to fight the forces of darkness who will try and resist and try to keep the word of God from coming to pass. But they cannot win. They are defeated foes. In Christ, we are more than conquerors. We are victorious. We need to fight. You know, this is the whole picture for the New Testament believers, that the devil and every demon in hell is going to contest the word of God. It's going to contest the promises of God. And we need to be spiritually strong. We're entering into a spiritual warfare kind of mentality. And we need to drive the enemy back and force them into submission. We have the power, and we must exercise the power and authority that Christ has invested into every believer. And every believer is victorious if we will stand our ground and overcome. We've got to drive the enemy back into submission. And when you're on top, don't give up. Keep on fighting. Keep on. Inevitably, when we're involved in life, we become exhausted, fatigued, battle-weary. But you know, the truth is, we can't give up because we're soldiers of the Lord. And soldiers don't give up in the heat of the battle. Soldiers dig deep when it's time is difficult and hard. Soldiers dig deep. They find new reserves of strength and commitment, and they keep on pressing home their advantage. They keep on fighting. They keep on doing warfare. And we are the soldiers of the Lord. We cannot afford to let the enemy win. We have to dig deep at times and hold on to the promises of God. Though the vision tarry, it shall surely come to pass. God is faithful. He is watching over his word, waiting to perform it. And so we need to hold on to the Lord for everything that we have. You may think, man, I'm just a new Christian. You know, who am I? I'm weak and I'm insignificant. I'm a nobody, really. And, you know, we've all had to deal with that kind of scenario. But I want to tell you that you are somebody in Christ. You are powerful. You are an overcomer. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. But if you think that you are small and insignificant to make a difference, then it's obvious that you've never been to bed with a mosquito in the room. Because that mosquito will drive you mad until you deal with it, and then you'll have a peaceful night's sleep. But you know, the Old Testament is replete with all these examples of how we're to wage warfare. And one of my favorite characters in the Bible is Eliezer. Eliezer was one of the mighty men of David, and he is a man that has inspired me on more than one occasion. You know, when nobody else would fight in the land of Israel, when the enemies had come against Israel and had dominated them, had persecuted them, and had robbed them blind, Eliezer was the only one who said, it's enough. Enough is enough. And he stood up and he began to fight. He drew his sword and waged war. Eliezer was a one-man commando squad. He just would fight with everything his life. The rest of Israel ran at that particular time. When they saw the fighting broke out, that Israel ran for their lives, but Eliezer stood toe-to-toe with the enemy and slugged it out. And that's the picture that we had. He would not be moved. He was not going to be intimidated. He was the Claude Van Damme of the Old Testament. And so Some of you may not know who Claude Van Damme is, but that's okay. He's one of the heroes of Hollywood's martial art experts. But he fought so long that his hand actually froze to the sword. Eliezer was incredible. He just stood there and fought and fought and fought until his hand froze to the sword. I remember many years ago, I was probably 12 or 11, 12, somewhere around about a youngster anyway, and I found my dad's sword. We had a big patch of corn growing out in the backyard, and I took the sword out, and I imagined myself as a mighty warrior, and every stick of corn was an opposing enemy, and I would take the sword and I would lop off the top of the corn, and that would be the enemy's head was coming off. And I thought that was really a cool game. And I just kept on chopping my dad's corn down and getting quite carried away in my own imagination. And I chopped down so much corn, I looked around, I was quite amazed, and I realized I'm probably going to be in a bit of trouble for this. But in doing this, I'd been doing it so long that the vibrations of the sword as it was hitting the corn actually made my hand freeze to the sword, and I couldn't let it go. I had to literally unpeel my fingers from the sword because it was frozen to the sword. This is exactly what had happened to Eliezer. Eliezer held on to that sword and just kept on fighting for all that he's worth. And God gave him the victory. That's the incredible thing, that Eliezer won the victory, that one man who stood up against the enemy, one man alone, and God gave Israel an incredible victory that day. Of course, in the New Testament, the sword is represented as a picture of the Word of God. And you're going to have to hold on to the Word of God in the midst of the battle. Though the storms rage and the enemy buffets and demons attack, hold on to the Word of God, because that is the promise of victory. Never let go of the Word. It's a sure defense, and it is the promise of victory that you're going to need to hold on to. Remember, the Word of God is the weapon of choice that we have to engage in the battles of life. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, it says the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And so it's the weapon of choice. We're to hold on to that Word, just like Eliezer. Hold on to the promises of God. Drive the enemy back until he's destroyed. Wield the promise. Wield the promises of the sword, striking the devil over and over and over. Quote the scriptures to him over and over until the devil throws up his hands in victory and says, I'm going to find somebody else to battle. This guy is relentless. There's easier targets out there. This is exactly what Jesus did. Exactly. Remember when the devil came to tempt Jesus? Jesus responded every time, it is written, it is written, it is written. Over and over, Jesus used the Word of God to repel the attacks of the enemy. And that is the lesson that Israel has to learn. That is the lesson that you and I have to learn. Is it easy sometimes? No. Let's be honest. Sometimes it can be really difficult. But it does work, and it will produce wonderful results for your life. Wield the promises of God. You're at war with the devil, and the Word is your weapon. Attack with every scripture in your arsenal. Every scripture in the Bible is a weapon that God has given for the believer. We have more ordnance. We have more weapons than Arnold Schwarzenegger. We are really well-tooled and prepared for the battle. Take no prisoners, folks. When the enemy comes against you, destroy the forces of darkness. Destroy discouragement and fear and apathy. Destroy these things because you are able to. Endure hardship as a good soldier, and your victory is assured. There was a mini war going on in the airport one day, and one passenger walked up to the check-in clerk and was in a really bad mood and was rude and abusive to her. And the poor check-in clerk just smiled at him, which seemed to enrage this passenger even more. And he became angry and nasty. And the check-in clerk just sat there and smiled and went about her business. And that just seemed to infuriate this man. He was having a really bad day. And he got really angry and abusive. And eventually he stormed off in a fit of rage. And the next customer came up and spoke to the check-in clerk and said, "Gee, I'm really amazed at you. Your composure in the face of such provocation." She said, "I just don't know how you did it. How did you actually cope with that kind of outrage? I think I would have hit the guy." And she said, "Well, I'm perhaps it has something to do with the fact that passenger is going to London, but his baggage is going to Timbuktu." So, you know, the truth is we all have wars to wage, but God wants to give us the victory. But there are times when we're engaged in this battle and it seems like we are not making any progress. It seems like we just can't get to our breakthrough just yet. Remember Peter's fishing trip. He'd been out all night fishing and he'd worked his fingers to the bone and caught absolutely nothing. He did everything that he possibly could. And he was exhausted and disappointed, tired because he'd labored all night and had no fruit to show for it. You know, we're often in that same position as New Testament believers. We work hard at the things that we're called to do and we're trying everything we possibly can to get the blessings and to get the breakthrough that we deserve. And sometimes it feels like we're making no progress whatsoever. I know that every Christian goes through a time where it's just a hard slog. But, you know, Jesus came to Peter at that particular point, and even though he had fished all night and caught absolutely nothing, Jesus gives him a word, and he says, "Launch out to the deep and get ready for a catch." Launch out into the deep and get ready for a catch. God was about to turn Peter's tragedy into triumph. God was going to turn his defeat into a glorious victory. You see, that's what God does. God is going to turn your mourning into dancing. Your sorrow may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. God is going to minister and give you your breakthrough. The Lord worked, Peter said, "Lord, we've worked hard all night and we've caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word," and that's the key, it comes back to the word. One word from God changes everything. One word from God makes a huge difference in our lives. One word from God will heal the sick. It'll give hope to the hopeless. It'll give life to the dead. The prophet spoke the word of God, and axe heads floated, oil barrels filled, seas parted, armies fell, and the sick were healed. One word from God changes everything. Sometimes what we need to do is get alone and hear the word of the Lord. We've got to get alone with God and say, "God, speak to us." You know, Peter let down his net because Jesus told him to, and caught so many fish that their nets were breaking. It was an incredible thing. There was such abundance. There was miraculous provision. And the promise of God will chase you down and overtake you when you hold firm to that word and don't give up and don't cower in the face of the enemy. The blessings of God will overcome. I want to say to you, there's power in the promises of God. If you will believe the promises of God, you will see the salvation of the Lord. I love what T.D. Jakes said. He said, "The word works if you work it." The word works if you work it. In other words, if you just read it like any other book and don't pay any acknowledgement to it, it's not going to work. But when you put faith and mix faith with the word of God, then all things become possible. Miracles can transpire. The blessings of God will chase you down and overtake you. Believe the word of God. Trust in the word of God. The word works if you work it. Get ready. God is going to do something for you. Hold on to the promises. You've been believing God for a breakthrough. I'm telling you, persevere. God will not let you down. He will not fail you. So God is going to do something for you. Look at our text. There are times in our walk with God that you're going to need courage. You're going to need personal fortitude. Remember, this is God speaking to the children of Israel are, as they stand on the banks of the promised land, and they're about to go in. And God says to them in Joshua 1:9, "Have I not commanded you?" Think about this. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Why did God say that to them? Because the circumstances were so overwhelming, so intimidating, so fearful, so terrifying that their hearts were troubled. And God said, "Don't look at the circumstances. Look to what I'm telling you." He said, "Hold on to the word of God. Be strong and be courageous." That same thing Jesus says to us. He says, "I will never leave you or forsake you." God says, "I will make you more than a conqueror. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you." You know, we're living in difficult times. These pandemics are breaking out. The money markets are shaky and volatile. Now you think about the world we're living in. Money that man has lived for, fought for, and died for is on the brink of collapse. We have pandemics that are sweeping around the world in unprecedented fashion. Did you know in the last 20 years, let me just refresh your memory what has happened. A pandemic is a new virus that crosses international borders and sometimes goes all around the world and causes absolute havoc and devastation. But just in the last 20 years, let me refresh your memory as to what has happened. You had the H1N1 swine flu. You had the bird flu. You had Ebola virus. We've had the SARS to contend with. Then we had MERS, which was the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome. And then you had the Zika virus. And now we have this new pandemic, the coronavirus, that has sweeped. Every 3 years, on average, we are dealing with another catastrophic virus, a pandemic that is sweeping the world. You know, it wasn't so long ago that the Australian Prime Minister, Kevin Rudd, was sounding a bit like the prophets when he was saying, "We're living in perilous times," quote and unquote. And really, that is a truth, because Paul said to Timothy, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Economic markets are up and down. Pandemics are crossing the world. You've got famines and earthquakes and wars and rumors of war. We are living in perilous times. We need to know how to get hold of the promise of God and get the things that God has promised for the church. We are living in dangerous times. But you know, God has an understanding, and he has already spoken to us and given us his provision. Psalm 27 and verse 1. I love it. I love the scripture. Listen to it. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Listen to this. "The Lord is the strength of my life." Think about that. The Lord is the strength of my life. God is wanting to empower every believer. He is their strength. He is their portion. He is their victory. The Lord is the strength of my life. "Of whom shall I be afraid?" the psalmist says. If you know who you are in Christ, if you know that you are spirit-filled and anointed by the Holy Ghost, you can overcome all things and you need not be afraid. "Of whom shall you be afraid?" You need to fear nothing. If the man who fears God need fear nothing else. Over 360 times, the Bible says, "Fear not, fear not, fear not." That's one for every lunar day of the year. So God is saying to his people, there are things that could be troubling around you, but fear not, for I am the strength of your life. Don't be afraid, because your redemption draweth nigh. Look up, pack up, because we're going up. God is getting ready to rapture his church. Great things are happening. You know, the great thing about serving God is that we have an inheritance that we can enjoy both here and now. And it keeps on getting better. It keeps on getting richer and more glorious. And the ultimate fulfillment of our inheritance will happen when Christ returns. In the meantime, we need to be strong and courageous, because we know how it's all going to turn out. We know what's going on. God is just setting the stage. These dramatic moves are just the opening moves in history for Christ's return. Christ getting ready for his triumphant return. Christ is coming back. The Lord of glory is coming back for his church, for you and I, the spotless bride, without blemish, without wrinkle. I love the picture that the Old Testament paints of the kingdom that God is going to establish through us, and that we're going to be co-laborers with him. In Daniel chapter 7 and verse 14, one of my favorite verses in the Old Testament, it says this: "And there was given to him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed." Revelation says pretty much the same thing, but in a glorious way. Revelation 11:15 says, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Hallelujah to the Lamb. You see, God is empowering his church. No matter what is happening in the earth today, we can walk in victory. We can possess our inheritance if we hold truly to the word of God, the most powerful weapon we have. It is amazing. And if we stay faithful to the word of God and keep our eyes upon Christ, miracles are going to happen, and we're going to see our inheritance unfold. Even though the whole world comes against us, 31 kings stood against Israel. 31 kings and kingdoms fell, and Israel was victorious. The same is going to happen to you and I. Hold on to the word of God. Forsake it not. It's going to be the strength of your life, and God will fill us. Excuse me. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you that you love us so much. Thank you that you've made such an abundant provision for us, that your word is all powerful, that your word, Lord, makes the difference in our life. Thank you, Lord, your word gives us hope, courage, strength. And Lord, we want to be like Eliezer. We want to go into battle with our hand holding the sword, the word of God, and not let it go. No matter what the enemy does, we will fight. We will stand our ground. We will overcome in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you've made us more than conquerors. Lord, that you will give us the victory in every circumstance of our life. Father, we bless you for the wonderful provision that you've given to us through the scriptures, this mighty arsenal of amazing weapons that we can use at any time for your honor and glory. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this time that we've been able to share around the word of God. I pray, Lord, that you bless each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.